Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Glad you all are here. How many of y'all are ready? I mean, you know, we've been out there in the Advent, kind of the hope that it's coming. You know, we've talked about being able to see beyond what we can see, the hope of God. Isn't that the hope of God in our lives? That God sees what we cannot see. We've talked about the peace of God. How many of y'all are beginning to relax a little bit and say, you know what? God made me the way that He made me, and that's a great thing that He made me. And I'm going to rest in the peace of God. How many of y'all got a little more joy in your step this week? How many of y'all had some joy? I had some joy this week in my life. Yesterday, I watched my son walk the graduation aisle, and for an heir's male coming out of my lineage to graduate, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Just for me to know that that could happen, you know. So that was cool. It was joyful. And I was more joyful knowing he's off my payroll in 2 weeks. Hallelujah. So see, there's joyful things that go on. But then today, we got the essence of it. We got the essence of it. You know, we can hang out at church and man, I mean, didn't Sarah just knock that song out? Was that not? I mean, that's awesome. I'm sitting there going. But you know what? You can, I mean, and she sang it with much beauty, but you know, did you hear the words? O come, Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. God with us. And so I'm gonna put you in two places today, and I want you to view these two places, and I want you to wrestle with these two places. You know, there's a difference of being near and in. What do you think? You see, Jesus, the Son of God, was in the manger, in the world, and the shepherds were near the event. Those of great wisdom, those wise men, were near the event. King Herod was near the event. There was a crowd that was near the event. There's times that we like to get near to God. But this is even more amazing. God with us because God wants to be in us. Not just near us, but in us. How many of y'all need to move this week from Christmas being near to Christmas being in? Some of you, for the first time today, you need to say that we've already had that happen at 8 o'clock this morning. Is that not exciting that at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, on the Sunday of love, that people have already received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior this morning, and God came in. He came in. He came in. And so, you know, I'm going to ask you to turn to for a very familiar passage of Scripture and just kind of wake everybody up a little bit. This time next week, guess what it is? Christmas. I don't know about y'all, but I like Christmas. How y'all like Christmas? I like Christmas. You know, let's turn it around a little bit. One of the things I've tried to do, I'll just give you some heads up. I've tried to decommercialize myself a little bit from Christmas and actually just celebrate Christmas. You know, I think in your family, get to what matters. Get to what matters. Get to really what matters. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be like really psyched up next week because guess who will be here? Kids. And I love to watch kids at Christmas because I loved Christmas as a kid. And, you know, they'll all get to bring one thing that they can hold in their hand and play with during worship, you know. But I love to watch them. What? They're in the moment. They're in the moment of Christmas. Now, how many of you all been near, but you're not in? Been near it, but you won't get in it. And so here's what I love about Jesus. He don't want to be near to you. He wants to be in you. He didn't get around Bethlehem. He came into Bethlehem. And guess what? Here's some good news from Christmas. The love of God will get in even if you try to crowd it out. Isn't that the Christmas narrative? Isn't that really God's whole purpose? God comes in through Jesus to Bethlehem. And what happens? There's no room in the inn. Nobody wants to let him in. You know, and it's amazing. And Joseph doesn't throw a protest or file a discrimination suit to the innkeeper. And he doesn't talk about how unfair everything life is. And See, here's what I'm letting you in on. All this stuff that we whine about has always been the stuff of the world. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just that we expect our correction to come from ourselves. And it will never come that way. God had to come so that we could love well. What do you think? God had to come so we could what? Love well. Because you know what? Be really honest here. I can get kind of near to love, but I can't get in love without Jesus. Now, what do you think? But I can kind of get near it. How many of y'all mistake the tingles for love? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? You know, guess what? If I get a new truck to me, it doesn't even have to be a new truck, just a new truck to me, I get the tingles. You know, the first week. Start that sucker up, it's going to be good, and I dream about the fields I'm going to get to ride through, and I get the tingles. But are the tingles love? No. That's kind of near it, and God calls us to be what? In it. You see the difference? And so as this week moves on toward what? You know what's coming. What's coming? Christmas. And so I want you to be prepared for Christmas. It's going to be really exciting for you all because guess what? Next week, Christmas Eve, Saturday, Christmas Eve, two services. So you can catch a Christmas Eve service at 12 noon. Y'all got that on Saturday, 12 noon or 6 o'clock in the evening. So depending on how you do your Christmas Eve stuff or you got to travel somewhere, you want to catch a, you know, worship focused time, kind of bring the family in what this is all about. 12 o'clock Saturday and what? 6 o'clock in the evening on Saturday. How many of y'all understand Christmas Eve is on Saturday? If this is new information to you right now, you got a lot to do this week, okay? And so then on Sunday morning, we are celebrating Christmas here. I hope you will be here. I think it's a fabulous decision to make in your life to worship on the day that Christ is born. I love Sunday Christmas.
You say, well, Pastor Steve, that may delay our breakfast.
You know, what's this really about? Is it about us having a traditional moment together, or is it about us really recognizing that Jesus wants to be in us? And he wants to forgive us of all of our sin, and he wants to bring us a life that's second to none. Is that not amazing? So we'll be worshiping. We will not have 8 o'clock service. So if you're here at 8 o'clock, you will be here in your sleigh by yourself meditating for an hour and a half before the rest of us arrive with our jingle bells, okay? And so that 9:30 and 11 o'clock service, those will be the two Christmas services. They will be shorter, more concise services than we typically have unless, you know, Pastor Mark or Jamie or Jeff just get really carried away at Christmas. And no, they will be very respectful of that because we know that people are moving. And so that kind of gives you where we are, okay? So we are on the advent of love today, and love wants to be in you. How many of y'all are glad of that? Love wants to be in you, not near you, but what? In you. I'm going to keep saying that all day long because most of you want to be near it, not in it. How many of y'all want to be near Jesus? We got a lot of people that do that in our culture. You know, Christmas time, people want to be near who? Jesus. They'll give Jesus a little look. They'll give him a flyby on Christmas. You know, they'll come by and say, hey, Jesus, this is nice. They'll come by Christmas Eve service with their mama and say, yeah, it's cool. You know, baby in a manger, God comes to us. God loves us. Hallelujah. That's near. And then they'll do another flyby at Easter. You know, it's amazing. Well, you know, it's Jesus who died and he came back to life. Hey, we got Easter good. We're going to have dinner at Easter. That's near. That's not in. So just in case you're trying to build a faith on flyby services, you might just fly by heaven with that kind of approach, okay? So that's not a good decision. That's not what God did. He didn't call you to observe him. He's called you to follow him. You see the difference? In fact, you know what God said? This is what he really said, O come, Emmanuel. You know what God said to everybody he created? I'm madly in love with you. Even if you're a barn. It's pretty cool, isn't it? How many of y'all feel like that sometimes? Man, I'm just not worthy. I mess up all the time. I say bad words on Scottsville Road. Santa Claus pulled out in front of me and I wanted to run over him. You know, I just have bad thoughts. And and I'm not really a good human being. Any of y'all ever have those kind of thoughts? Man, I have. I mean, I've had, you know, sometimes I put when I was like, Lord Jesus, are you sure you're in my life? Because it sure didn't look like it in that moment. And I hear you, O come, Emmanuel, I'm here. You know what God was really saying in that manger? I'm here. I'm not away from you. I'm not even near you. I want to be, Nathan, where? In you. I want to be in love with you, and I want to show you my love. Isn't that the declaration of heaven to earth? If you don't mind, just tell your neighbor, he really does love you. Go ahead and tell him. Oh, come on, y'all are all not sharing it. Some of you standing there staring at your own self. Share it. No, he loves you, man. I want you to get this. And he said, well, Pastor Ayers, I'm a sinner. I mean, here's the good news. God loves sinners. I always say that when I hear that and I know that, I said, and thank God that he does. Because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I have not done what God asked me to do. Now, here's what we're doing in our world today. In our world today, we try to say sin's not sin, but that doesn't take the stain of sin out, does it? And here's what we learned. You can't vote sin away. You can't approve sin. You can't accept sin because sin kills. And now here's where we get messed up. Sin feels good till it kills you. How many of y'all found that to be true? See, some of y'all believe this because you came out of the 60s and you listened to all that baloney stuff that came out of there. And you really do believe this. You live every day of your life with this. If it feels good, it must be true. And guess what the truth is? The truth is there's a lot of things that feel good that are false. So God didn't come to tingle us. He came to change us. To place his love where? In us. So I hope you have a in him Christmas. Okay, so to do that, watch this. We got to prepare to be in it, not near it. So ladies, I just want to give you a heads up, okay? Don't over Martha this Christmas. How many of you sweet ladies, listen, I love y'all. How many of y'all are, how good a Christmas plan is this? I'm going to cook for 72 hours nonstop so I wear myself out. So when my whole family comes over, I will be kung fu fighting anybody that interrupts the plan I have in my head for Christmas. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Chill. In fact, you know what? I pray for every one of you in this room that you will have some Christmas surprises. So Christmas was a surprise. It was a planned event from God from a long time ago to surprise the world with his love. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. This is in you. If you're a believer today in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. I'm telling you what, this is already in you. And I'm going to encourage you in the name of Jesus to release it as your families gather and as people hang with you all week long. There is nothing more precious than allowing the love of God to leak out of you and get on somebody else. Today, if you're here, guess what? The love of God's going to draw you. Come on, be forgiven, be connected, be made new. Now, let me help you. God defines love. Bring it back to me. God defines love. Do y'all understand that? God defines love. Does that make sense? He defines love. Now, what we have in our cultural moment, we think love is tolerance. Would you agree with me? Give me a head nod if you've heard that a little bit. That's a weak head nod. That's why all this crap's going, stuff's going on. Because guess what we do as Christians? We say stuff like this in the world. That could be bad. That's not a could be bad. That is deadly. And God came to love us through the deadly stuff. Hold on. As soon as Jesus got here, what'd they want to do with him? Charles, you remember? Kill him. As soon as love got here, the devil put a hit out on it. The devil has one mission. Get rid of love. Because if you get rid of love, then you get rid of life. And once you get rid of life, you'll be vulnerable to any of his stuff. Here's what we say love is today. Tolerance. I say nothing could be farther from the truth. Love does not tolerate me. Thank God. Love forgives me and reconstructs me in a different direction. Love doesn't leave me where I was. Love doesn't say, I forgive you, stay there. Love says, I forgive you, let's go to heaven. Isn't that what Jesus said? I forgive you, let's go to what? Heaven. So Andy, in a real way, we could say that the Christmas story is God's first step in bringing us to heaven. We could say that, couldn't we? How many could we say that? Steve, you think we could say that? I mean, you're like me, you've heard the Christmas story more than once. We grew up down there at the first baptizer, and we got it. Shepherds, wise men, baby, angels, boom, bright star. But isn't Christmas more than that? Isn't Christmas God's first step in bringing us where? Heaven. So let's see what happens in love. First of all, here's what I want you to know. You and I can do some incredible things, but if it doesn't have love to it, Joe, that's just kind of our stuff. So I'm going to ask you to move your Christmas from your stuff into His stuff. Watch. Here's what the Bible says. I can preach and talk like angels, but if I have not love, I am just a clanging cymbal or a gong. How many of y'all hang out with some gongs? They just talk all the time, spin stuff all the time. What do we love to do in our nation? Spin. How many of y'all have ever just heard a politician say, you know what? I did it. Then we call that stealing, and I stole. How many of y'all have ever heard that from a politician? How many of y'all have ever heard a politician, I want to be elected so I can weasel you out of your money? They don't say things like that. That'd be the truth. What do they say? What you want to hear. Yeah. You know how you get elected? Tell people what they want to hear. It's not a big secret. That's why Jesus didn't run for office. Because God refused to tell us what we wanted to hear. He came proclaiming what we needed to hear. That's a big difference, isn't it? Because you know what some of us convinced of? Guess what? In our culture, I have a lot of mercy because I know why people get convinced of us. This is what we've told people for 50 years. As long as it feels good, you can do it. And if it feels right to you, there's going to be no consequences. Now, let me tell you the reality of what's going to happen. There's going to be millions and billions of people sitting in hell forever because they did what they wanted to do. Nice people, polite people, kind people, wonderful people, people that hung out and were tolerant of everybody else's sin. So what hell is one large place of tolerant sin. And here's what heaven is. It's a place where people let God in. You know what God did in a real way? Check this out. This is amazing. God turned a barn into a palace. God took a barn at Christmas, which is a place for what? Animals. And turned it into a what? A palace. Who does that sound like? God! He just does crazy stuff like that. He takes like people that can't make it and turns them into people that make a difference. God's love reworks us. Amen? So not near, but what? In. So let's look what else. Be careful. And here's what he tells you. You know what? We can sacrifice ourselves. We can do all of these wonderful things. And if we don't love and they're not driven by love, they don't last long. But when love comes out of us, it is a sound that goes on for how long? Come on. How many of y'all realize this is going to blow you away? Right now, you are some of the echoes of somebody's love a long time ago. Pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool, isn't it? Somebody prayed for you before you even listened. Isn't that cool, Bob? And guess what? How many of y'all realize you still got people praying for you even though you don't know they're praying for you? How many of y'all are praying for people they don't even know you're praying for them? How many of y'all pray for your children? Pray. You know why I pray for my children all the time? They could be like me. And I pray against that every day. Dear God, please, if you did give them this part of my DNA, let it be healed. Lord, if they think, guess what? How many of you parents want your children to live a better life than you? I hope you do. I hope you didn't raise them so that you could say, look how stupid you are. I hope you raised them so that they could dance with the power of God. But that's got to be in, not near. In, not near. In, not what? Near. Well, as God comes in, you know what he says? I want to fall in love with you. Let's talk about love for just a second and wrap this thing up. Let's talk about some things love is not. Look what it says. Love is this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Now, how many of y'all going to have that kind of Christmas? How many of y'all need to be patient? Are there going to be anybody in your Christmas experience a little bit anxious? Yeah. Who are they going to be? Your mother. Okay, maybe a mother. See, I didn't use anybody's name, Sherry. Look here. Watch. How many of y'all going to have some people that are anxious at Christmas? Because, Rog, they're worried about, I mean, think about you, Rog. You all have to rent out a half a stadium to bring all those kids in. It could be anxious or it could be patient. How many of y'all need to really receive the patience of God? Not just in this week, but in your life. Let God unfold it in you. You know when Jesus was going to come? Guess when? When he said so, Martha. You know what's going to happen when God says so? How many of y'all live in a life when God says so? Pretty neat, isn't it? When was Jesus born? When God said so, brother. God didn't come because we prayed. God didn't come because we were well behaved. God didn't come because we prepared the way. God came because he is the way. That's a different God, isn't it? Especially than the one we preach in America. There is a God, and he comes to Bethlehem, and he turns barns into palaces. That's pretty cool, I think. How many of y'all feel like a barn, but really, inside of you, there's a palace? And if you do feel like a barn, you know why? It's probably because you're near, and you need to let Jesus get in. He said, Pastor Steve, what will he do if he gets in here? He starts with a total rework. He forgives you of all your sin, because what causes sin? Well, let's talk about some things that cause sin. Anxiety causes sin, and God says love is patient. Sin is demanding. Have you noticed that? You get around people that are full of sin, they're what? They're demanding. I want this. I mean, y'all know anybody like that? Y'all going to have somebody like that coming over to your house? How many of y'all got those family members? When are we going to eat? How many of y'all got this one right here? You said be here at 4:30 and we would eat at 4:45. Now, guess what? I don't want to be patient when I hear that. I just want to. Sometimes I want to say, you know what? What difference does it make when we eat as long as we eat? But some people don't think that way because they're on a what? Schedule. And you interrupted their. Watch this. Let me show you something. God will not be on your schedule. Pretty cool, isn't it? Ladies, when are babies going to be born? Come on, talk to me. When are they going to be born? I mean, some of y'all have done that. But, I've seen ladies, especially in the summertime, they're like, oh, I wish this thing would come out. I wish he would get here or she would hurry up. But Mama T, when did DeMonte, when was he born? 6 days later. When God what? When God wanted him to. Kim, what about Red? That's the first time he's been on ahead of time in his life. I'm telling you right there. But Red was what? He came when? God wanted it. I mean, Elizabeth listened to the due date of our kid. He's supposed to be born sometime in July. And he started knocking on the door, kung fu fighting, about June the 15th. And I said, you might have a baby. You're 9 months pregnant. They said the scheduled due date was. I said, who said? She said, the doctors. I said, they don't know anything. That's a speculation, not a decree. Hold on, let me show you the difference in God's love. God made a decree. I am coming now. He told Mary, unto you, you will bear a son that will change the world. He is the one, and he's coming what? Now. And what's coming with him? Patience. Kindness. When you get full of patience and kindness, you don't have to envy because your life is oozing life. You don't have to boast because it'll be evident, and you do not have to be proud because what? God's done it. How many of y'all are aware of this? God can do more than we can. Embrace that this week and celebrate it all week long. God can do more than I can, and he is what? Coming into me. Now, here's the good news. I hope y'all get this rhythm. Because God will come into me, he'll also come into somebody else. How many of y'all got that rhythm down? How many of y'all have ever done this other than the pastor? Well, I tell you what, I know God saved anybody, but that old dude ain't never going to listen to God. How many of y'all have ever made that statement? I got an uncle, and Lord, if he's to get saved, the angels would do more than sing. They'd do a cartwheel. How many of y'all have ever, come on. Listen, every church I've been to in Kentucky, they say, well, now said so-and-so, I don't know. But you know what? I read in the Christmas story that when they wouldn't let him in the inn, God found a barn and he turned the barn into a palace. That's what love does. It turns barns into palaces. Pretty cool, isn't it? It takes what the world said is nothing and turns it into the hallmark of the greatest event in human history. Isn't it pretty cool? God took a barn in Bethlehem and turned it into the starting point of a revolution of human history, that now God's creation has a way to march into heaven with God. And he starts it in a what? Barn. I don't know. I think this always brings great hope for us who live in the country. I kind of like it that God went to the barn before he went to the fancy motel. I deduct from that God loves country folks first. No, I don't. That's not true. But I just think it's interesting. Hold on. Was Jesus born in a small town or a large city? I'm going to tell you. He was born in Bethlehem. That's a small town. I mean, that's like Gamaya. Wayne's like Caverna. I mean, you would not pick Caverna for a great event, would you? I mean, I don't ever see the World Series committee calling the, you know, city council over at Caverna. Hey, we like to do the World Series out there at y'all's park. What do you think? I mean, they don't do it at Caverna, do they? But watch this. God was born in Bethlehem, a small town, but he was crucified outside a large city. Jerusalem's the New York of its time. It's the London of its time. It's the Hong Kong of its time. It's the Tokyo of its time. But he's born. He came in, he came to, so he could get into us. And I just want to leave you four things that I want you to unpack from the love of God out of 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, I would encourage you to read this whole chapter, the chapter on love that Paul so identifies. It's the Christmas story. Love is in you. Now, here's what I say. Because love is in you, and love has a name. What's his name? Jesus. All things are possible. Four things go on with love, and they're not stoppable. First of all, what does love do? It always, note this verse, it always hopes. It always trusts. It always perseveres. Love never what? Fails. Let me give you these four things. We're going to wind up right on here. Take this to Christmas this week. Love always protects. So guess what? Protect your Christmas. Make sense? Protect it. Spend time with your family. I'm just going to give you some practice. Spend time with your family. And listen, if you got some people in your family and they got more miles on their odometer than others, really tell them how you feel, okay? You know how many times I hear this in my life through the year? Oh, I wish I'd just told so-and-so. Well, guess what? When were you at Christmas? Tell them! I tell my dad all the time, Dad, I really appreciate you, man. I really love you. He said, son, are you getting soft? I said, no, you're getting old. I mean, it's reality. Tell it. Protect it. Protect your Christmas. I hope you'll be back here. You know what? I hope 9:30 is crazy. I can't wait for next week. I mean, I'm almost like a kid. I'm just getting juiced up about it. I mean, there'll be kids in here with toys and weapons and everything else. It'll be awesome. You know, Nerf shooters. Man, I want to shoot one of those next week. In fact, I may preach with one and just shoot people as we... A Nerf. That's a Nerf. to play. Protect. Love protects. How many of y'all know God's protecting you even when you don't know God's protecting you? And you know what? This is amazing. Nathan, God trusts me with his love. Because love what? Always trust. How many of y'all trust God to give you the life that he wants you to have? Trust him. And then guess what God does? He always hopes. He always hopes. He always hopes. He doesn't sometimes hope. He always what? Hopes. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. I want you to realize this. Protection, trust, and hope. The only permanent place of these three concepts is in Christ. Because watch this. Here's the best I can do on my own. I can give limited protection. Isn't that correct? Limited. I trust people somewhat. How many of y'all trust people somewhat? But I don't trust people. I'm suspicious. Maybe I, you know, listened to that Elvis song too much growing up. Suspicious minds. But Jim, I don't know about you. I'm a little suspicious. You know what I mean? Somebody walk up to my house, my first motion isn't, I love you. It's just not, I wish he was, but it's not. Guess what my first thought is? Same thought I have. What do you want? Are you casing my joint? You want money from me? What do you want? Yeah. So see, I do that a little bit. Hope. I can hope pretty good till the first thing falls apart. But I felt hopeless too. How many of y'all have ever felt hopeless? How many of y'all have ever had one of those? It happens at Christmas too. You know, you won't decorate the house or you won't get the lights out. How many of y'all have ever had to find a Christmas tree light? And who thought this up? Oh, this is ho, ho, ho. Now, what engineer designed a string of lights where if one of them goes out, all of them go out, and you got to find the one out of 1,000 lights that went out? That's the devil coming into Christmas. The devil. And then my wife, I tear up stuff. Any of y'all have that gift? I mean, here's the gift that God gave me. I tear up stuff. I don't like computers because Elizabeth can push the button and it turns on. My kids can push the button and it turns on. I push the button and it says, I am tore up. Christmas tree lights do that to me. Candles do that to me. So I just don't. That doesn't bring the ho-ho-ho into my Christmas experience. So Elizabeth got a pre-lit tree. Guess how long that lasts? One season. She looked at me. She plugged it in. She goes, the tree's not lit. I said, I'm going to tell you what. I said, Christmas trees are of the devil. I'm tired of hearing about a Christmas tree light up. I said, see, you got a pre-lit, and it went out just like a regular lit. I said, you know why? Trees ain't supposed to have lights on them. That's why the problem is. So guess what she did? She got her another pre-lit tree, and it worked. And guess what I said about it? Nothing. Because love protects. And it trusts. And it what? Hopes. And I knew this. I better get quiet. Because at that moment, that Christmas tree might be more important than me. And so I said, the love that in me said, hey, listen, be patient. Be kind. Don't envy the tree. Let it what? Unfold. Four things, guys, that are in you right now because Jesus Christ put them in you. Protection of God. He's not going to let you fall. Hold on to that. The trust of God. If you will, kind of crazy. I don't understand it, but I sure am going to live in it. God trusts us enough to give us Jesus. That's pretty amazing, in my opinion. Because God is love. Let me tell you this last thing about love, and we'll get out of here. It always perseveres. Don't bring me this new concept. Don't tell me you've been married for 20 years and fallen out of love. That's a lie. Because you can't fall out of love. It's impossible to fall out of what? Because love perseveres. Love forgives and love goes on. And you say, well, what happened? I said, you never were in love in the first place. Most of us don't fall in love. Guess what we fall in love with? Be careful. Where God sends love, what do you think the devil makes? Lust. Starts with an L, confuses you. What does lust give you? Tingles, it does. You lust, it tingles. You know? You get tingles. It's tinsel. Because what love is? It's the evergreen of God. Why do we use evergreens at Christmas? Anybody know? There's symbolic stuff to Christmas. Evergreen. Come on, Gerald. Help us all today. Come on. Now, this is a man who grew up in Tompkinsville, and he knows that. Because from small places, what happens? Great things. Yeah, that's why we use evergreen. For what? Ever. How many of y'all are glad to know that God's love for you is forever? And it's never going to fade away. Merry Christmas. Don't get near. Let Jesus get in. But guess what some of you are going to do? Same old Christmas. You're going to get near the turkey. You're going to get near having, you know, some family fellowship. You'll almost get intimate, but you don't want to go that far. You've been around church. It sounds like a good idea. But that's not what Jesus wants. He wants to get in. And for him to get in, guess what you got to say? Lord, I'm a sinner. You know what you're telling Jesus? I can't get in on my own. And once you realize the truth that you can't get in on your own, guess what he's going to do? Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. Here's what I love about Christmas. Don't doubt God. He'll find a way. You throw him out of a hotel, he'll find a barn. You throw him out of the barn, and guess what? She's fine. I had a blonde-headed model just about like that about 18 years ago. This is the least of your worries. Watch this. You throw God off the earth, and what does he do? He comes back. Because love what? It perseveres. Merry Christmas. Love. Perseveres. So I'm going to give you an opportunity at the altar today to guess what? Get in. How many of y'all need to get in to Christmas? How many of y'all been so busy being near it you hadn't got into it yet? Well, guess what? You got a week. I'd start now. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, Dear God, let me in to your life so I might understand this week. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, guess what? We want to offer you an opportunity to come into heaven. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've not done what you've asked me to do. Listen, if you don't believe it, you got to read the Bible, okay? You can't say you believe in Jesus and keep on doing what he asked you not to do. What's so sad? I'm going to have a lot of people that thought they were okay because Oprah told them they were okay. And they're going to be really stunned when they find out Oprah wasn't God. There are going to be a lot of people shocked when they find out that all the great psychologists and sociologists and the studies that we've had on human behavior did not dictate judgment, but that God, he'll do what he said he's going to do. And you know why he does what he says he's going to do is because love perseveres always. Because let me tell you the good news. Love never fails. I only know one thing that never fails. Guess what it is? Love. And so why don't you say, Lord Jesus, I got to have something that never fails. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be connected to you. I want to be loved by you because guess what? That'll never what? Fail. How many of y'all found Christmas lights fail? They do. Christmas songs fade away. But the baby born at Christmas always perseveres. So not near Christmas, but let Christmas in you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Changes everything. Did it make sense today? Y'all got it? Jesus Christ loves us all. It's amazing. So Pastor Steve, I said a lot of bad words this week. He'll come on through that. And guess what? If you let him in, you'll say less than you did. I'm not saying it won't be any, but it'll be less. How many of y'all notice this? The more you're loved by Jesus, the less you act like you. There you go. That's the way it works. Because guess what? The more I'm loved by God, the more I trust him, the more I hope in him, the more I participate with him, the more I want to do what he says than what I want to do. And that changes everything in life. All right, well, let's stand together. Y'all been great. He wants in. Will you let him in? That's the deal, isn't it, Nathan? Will we let him in? Pray with me, Lord. You've drawn people today to your grace, your mercy, your truth. Hear me clearly in the name of Jesus. As we sang today, as we preached today, as you were welcomed today, guess what? God has spoken things into your life. Some of you today feel the Holy Spirit drawing you. Well, our pastors are here and our ministers are here at the front. And if you need to pray this prayer today, now listen, don't listen. They've got believers. I need you all to pray right now for people that don't know Jesus. Because he would like to come into their lives today. And if you know Jesus, you ought to want everybody in this auditorium to be saved. That ought to be your mission right now. Merry Christmas. Greatest gift of all. If you've never asked Christ in your life, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. Lord, I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. If the Spirit's drawing you right now, Pastor Jamie's right over here on this side of the altar. He'd be glad to talk to you. Now listen, church. Y'all can open, look at me. Open your eyes. We're still in prayer. I want everybody to have more than a good Christmas, Jamie. More than a great time this week. But you don't understand what it means to be in Christ. Risen to new possibilities. Loved by God with such intensity, knowing God will never let go no matter what. It's amazing stuff. I don't want you to tingle when you can live. I don't want you to have a moment when God's saying, join me in forever. I don't want you to be limited when you worship an unlimited God. Does that make sense? So, will you come today? How many of you need to just kind of take an altar moment, hit the old knee and say, you know what? I've been kind of near it. Today, Lord Jesus, draw me in it. And I want to live it in you. If you have not been baptized, let me describe the baptism. Some of you are, well, I got baptized when I was a baby. Hey, watch. Check. Cool. But I do believe it is very profitable in your spiritual journey to confirm that decision as adult. Everybody's been blessed that's done that, and I want you to be blessed. That you know Jesus has saved you, and you want to confirm that confession. I don't know a better way than on Christmas to do what? I mean, it's Christmas service. I'm going to give you a preview. I'm going to preach one of the shortest sermons you've ever heard me preach on Christmas. I'm serious about that. Y'all come and see if I do it. And you know what? Jamie, I'm serious. Unto you, baptism, 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 baptism. You weren't in here at 9:30 a couple weeks ago, and we've set a goal. We would like to see so many people baptized that you pass out in the baptistry baptism. It's one of our goals for Christmas. We'll pull you out before you go on. If you have not been baptized, Jamie, just slide up here so they can see you if you don't mind, brother. Jamie really needs to know that information because we just need to get you lined up so next Sunday it's going to be a blessing and ready to roll. And some of you have talked to me about being baptized, but make sure you get to Jamie so we got your name. You know you've received Christ, but you've never been baptized. This is one of my prayers. Jamie and I prayed it together. That everybody in our congregation would be baptized that needs to be baptized before 2012 so that when we hit this new year, we got a group of people that know they're in. And think it's what we're going to do all year long, Richard. We're going to go bring a bunch of more folks in. Because we got a lot of people that are near. But we need everybody in. So Merry Christmas. Don't stay near. Get in. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. so that you no longer have to be near God, but that God can be in you. So will you receive Jesus? Will you come? Don't stand there. Come give Him thanks. Give Him praise. Make those decisions. If you have not been baptized, we want to just tell us that next week you're going to be ready, because we'll be ready for you. And let God love on you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Come on, church. Amen.